Good morning, White Inch. Welcome to our online worship. Wherever you are this morning, and I hope some of you are in homes of other members of the church family, wherever you're watching, I pray that you're blessed by our worship this morning. We are delighted to have Reverend Kenny Borthwick preaching for us this morning. And I won't speak much this morning, and we'll move straight along. But I'm delighted that he's been able to join us virtually and to bring God's word this morning. I'm going to read to you from the passage that he's speaking from Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for those mature and experienced believers who have gone before us, just like Paul, who can show us, who can teach us. And so I pray this morning, Lord, soften our hearts. Give us a teachable spirit. May we set aside the troubles, the trials of this week, and just turn our eyes to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lead us, we pray, this morning. Amen. And now let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning to all of you lovely people of White Inch Church. It's lovely for me to be with you in this way. Our home is now in West Lothian, but I'm actually just back here from spending some time in Stornoway, where I've been part of the ministry team of Martin's Memorial Church, where Tommy McNeil is the senior pastor, and many of you will have met him or know of him. And I've really enjoyed my time there. One of the things they've been doing during lockdown is just trying different ideas for online services. And one of the things they've been doing as they've sought to do different and interesting things is that they've been interviewing leaders. They interviewed, for example, Bishop Sandy Miller, and then they interviewed Nicky Gumbel. And you know, what they had to share was just, it was pure gold. And it'd be worth you actually looking that up on the web, on YouTube, and just having a listen in yourself. And, you know, we can learn so much from people of experience, can't we? I remember Howard Espy, who some of you will know, and Howard and Charlotte are now back in Scotland. I remember him asking me years ago when he was our youth pastor up in Thurso. We were talking about some spiritual lesson that I'd learned the hard way. And he said to me, he said, Kenny, can I learn that from you? Or do I need to learn that myself? And I thought that was a really wise and humble question. The idea is that we're actually meant to learn from one another, if only we have the meekness to do that. You have heard the words of Philippians chapter 4 read earlier on in the service. And I find this an incredible claim that Paul actually makes in chapter 4. Listen to verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. That's an astonishing verse, isn't it? Paul's actually saying, I've learned things and I'm sharing them with you. And if you actually learn the things that I have learned from me, then this is going to be the result. The God of peace will be with you. What an amazing result, one to be desired in our lives. The God of peace will be with you. And I want to pursue that, the idea of the God of peace being with us, because these are very anxious times. They're anxious times for individuals for a whole variety of reasons. I hardly need to list them, that through the pandemic and through lockdown and so on, many people are anxious about many things. And it's a justifiable anxiety, if I can put it that way. It's not an unreasonable anxiety. People are anxious about health. People are anxious about the vaccine. Many people are anxious about financial matters. And the stress and strain of lockdown, tensions have risen within relationships and within families. So people are anxious about many things. I mentioned the interviews with Sandy Miller and Nicky Gumbel. Nicky Gumbel shared that during Lent, he actually asked his wife Pippa what she thought that he should give up for Lent. Do you know what she said? She said, well, I know what I would like you to give up. I would like you to give up worrying. And his son or his son-in-law, when he heard that, said, well, it's going to be a really joyful Easter, isn't it, when after Lent you pick up all the worries again. But, you know, worry and anxiety are rife in these days. When I was a younger Christian, it was a sort of mantra from the pulpit that the world is itching in all the wrong places and it needs to itch in the right places in order to find Jesus and find the God that we as Christians have come to know. And in my zeal in my early days as a Christian, well, I've got a bit of a beard now, but I didn't then, and I sort of would stroke my metaphorical beard, as it were, and nod in serious-minded, knit-browed agreement that that's absolutely right, that this lost world is itching in all the wrong places, and the reason it doesn't understand or want our God is because it's itching in all the wrong places. I find that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is intensely interested in where the world is itching. I don't think he waits for us to itch in the right place. What sort of shepherd, if he saw his sheep itching, would actually say, you're itching in all the wrong places and I'm not going to take anything to do with you? When a shepherd saw his sheep itching back in the Bible days, he would take a horn of oil and he would pour it over that sheep's head and anoint the sheep's head with oil so that it wouldn't be disturbed by flies or bugs or anything else that was causing the itching. I think Jesus is intensely interested in people's anxiety. I think he's intensely interested in your anxiety, if you're listening to this. I think he's intensely interested on the anxiety of church leaders and of congregations and of Christian works as lockdown hopefully recedes and things start to open up again. Even the opening up is a bit of an anxious time for many people. And so I want to look with you at Ephesians, at Philippians chapter 4. And if you're one of these sheep who is itching because of anxiety, I believe that through Philippians chapter 4 and through Pastor Paul, who remember was writing this from lockdown, he was in prison under house arrest at this moment. So this lockdown pastor has something to say to us from a place of authority, because he was writing from a situation that was far from ideal and could have caused much anxiety. And yet in Philippians chapter 4, peace, peace, peace is the theme that keeps on breathing through, either in word or in theme. So let's just look at what he says about anxiety and the way out of it into peace. And in no particular order, the first thing I want to remind you of is that he tells us something to do with our lips. Let me just read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's something we're to do with our lips. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. We're to make our requests, our prayers, our supplications known to God. We're to do that with thanksgiving from our lips and our hearts as well. And as we bring that mixture of thanksgiving, prayers, requests, supplications, as we express all of that, as we give voice to all of that, then Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is the pictures of soldiers, of sentries marching around the perimeter wall of something they're guarding, a town or city. And Paul's actually saying, if you do this with your lips, from your heart, then that's one of the keys to peace. Express it. Express whatever's in your heart, your prayers, your supplications for yourself, for others. And do it with thanksgiving and rejoicing in the Lord. You know, one of the things I miss about Stornoway is there's a beautiful river there called the Creed, and it's in the grounds of Lewes Castle, and there's wonderful walks there. And I just love going out there. Sometimes I go out early in the morning, sometimes I go out a couple of times a day. It's good for me with my condition, because there's bits of it that are flat, and it's just a nice walk, and it's easy for me and so on. And as I'm walking at the river, it's such a beautiful place. The river itself, especially after it's been raining, that it can be awesome, just the forcefulness of it as it splashes over the rocks on its way out to the sea. It's just a beautiful place, or looking out to the sea or whatever. It's just beautiful. And just everything to do with nature is so wonderful, and it reminds me of God. And sometimes as I'm walking there, I'm just hit with rejoicing in the Lord. Remember one occasion where I was just giving voice to my thanksgiving. I like to speak it out, and it's usually, there's not many people around, but I was just coming round a bend, and I was hands in the air, just praising God and thanking God and rejoicing in God. And then all of a sudden this man appeared. So do you know what I did? I pretended I was feeling for the rain. I don't know why I was so embarrassed, but I pretended I was feeling for the rain, or checking that there wasn't bird poop that had dropped from the sky on me. But I was just rejoicing in the Lord. At other times, if you were to listen to me as I walked around the creek, you would hear nothing but distress and requests Oh Lord, please help me. Sometimes a lot of moaning, sometimes a lot of groaning, and sometimes just a repeated very simple prayer for the help of the Lord. I like John Wimber's prayers that he taught others to pray. They were very short, they were very meaningful, and they fit with me. He said, I'm going to teach you a prayer. It's very complicated. Here it is. Help. Help. And so sometimes as you listen in to me, you would find me asking help, bringing my prayers, my supplications for myself, for my family, for the church, for other situations that are of concern and could be anxiety producing. And sometimes you would find me in this rejoicing mode, just bursting with thanksgiving to God. And it seems from what Paul's saying that we need that mix in order to find our way to peace. And sometimes if I don't know what to pray, well, do you know what I pray? I just pray the Lord's Prayer. Seems to me that's a perfect prayer because Jesus taught us to pray it. And so I know that when I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, I'm praying in conformity with the Holy Spirit within me and in conformity with Jesus as he intercedes before the Father's throne on my behalf. Remember somebody in a house group setting that my mum and dad ran many years ago now, maybe 30, 40 years ago or more. I remember in that setting, they were talking about prayer and my mum said, you know, when I don't know what to pray, I just pray the Lord's Prayer. And some keen charismatic just scoffed at that. And so that was just so childish and so ridiculous and so immature and so unspiritual. Friends, what better prayer can we pray when we don't know what to pray than the Lord's Prayer? He taught it. It's a perfect prayer. And it encompasses, it encircles so much, doesn't it? Just giving honour to the Lord, our Father who art in heaven. Remembering even in that opening word that he is our Father, that he cares for us. Bringing our supplications, our prayers, our intercessions for his will to be done on earth, including in my life. Trusting him that he will provide for my daily needs and give me daily bread. Remembering his mercy, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who've sinned against me. Remembering the fellowship I'm part of, because it's not just an individual prayer. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Remembering I'm part of something wider. Oh, Father, lead us not into temptation. We're weak. Don't lead us to the times of hard testing. Deliver us from evil. What a perfect prayer. So sometimes I pray that and give voice to that. And sometimes I sing a hymn. It's funny the things that we remember, isn't it, from years ago. And I love all the modern songs, of course I do. But, you know, I love the old hymns as well that I remember from my childhood. I remember walking on the beach at Ely. And it was a time of deep distress when I was really ill before the measure of recovery that I'm now enjoying. And this song came to mind, this hymn, "The Lord is King, lift up your voice, O earth and all ye heavens rejoice. From world to world the joy shall ring, the Lord omnipotent is King." And as I walked on the beach and just in the stillness of the evening, I remembered the Lord is the omnipotent King. What do I have to worry about? Come make your wants, your burdens known. In other words, do what Paul says. Be vocal about it. Come make your wants, your burdens known. Christ will present them at the throne. I've got one who's praying for me, even as I'm praying here. For he is at the Father's side, the man of love, the crucified. The Lord is King, who then shall dare resist his will, distrust his care, or murmur at his wise decrees, or doubt his royal promises. And you know, as I thought of these words and sang them out on the beach at Ely, I remembered and felt the reality that John White writes about in one of his books, when he was in a troubled time and a hymn came to mind, and as he thought of the words, he simply says this: "The warm breath of Aslan was around me and the fragrance of his mane." And that's what I felt. I felt it there in Ely. I feel it at the Crete as I bring this mixture of rejoicing and thanksgiving and expressing my needs and my wants and my requests and my supplications and my prayers. And somehow, as I'm vocal with my lips, something of the peace of God comes to garrison my heart, to garrison my mind, to march round it and defend it. So there's something we're to do with our lips. And then remember, there's something we're to do with our eyes, or the eyes of our heart. Verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Focus on these things with the eyes of your heart. What we focus on with the eyes of our heart is so important. That there's so much that is unpleasant, so much that is difficult, so much that can cause anxiety in these days. And Paul is telling us here that part of the recipe, that the cake of peace, part of that recipe is this: you need to be careful what you're focusing on, what you're thinking of. I remember one of Godfrey Birtle's songs. There's a lot of darkness, but a lot more light. And somehow the enemy of our souls has a way of focusing our eyes, the eyes of our heart. He has a way of focusing that on things that trouble. He has a way of focusing our eyes on the darkness. And Paul is saying here, focus on things that are good and lovely. You know, when I was in a really difficult place, I remember we used to hold our clan gathering leadership meetings in Inverarnon House in Strathdon, the home of Andy and Sylvia Lawson Johnson. And it was such a beautiful place, and the house itself was filled with such beautiful things. And we were given such beautiful food and wine. And just being in all that beauty and noticing it, it brought healing to my soul. One of the things that Isaiah prophesies we'll all see one day is we'll see the King in his beauty. And I found that as I focused on beauty, the beautiful things in the house, the beautiful rooms, the beautiful paintings, the beautiful surroundings, as I ate that beautiful food and enjoyed the wine, then somehow there was healing in all of that for my anxieties and distresses. You know, even during lockdown, there's been good and honourable and noble and lovely things to focus on, hasn't there? Think of Captain Tom, for example. Or have you seen the young boy, Tony? I think he was 5 years old, he might be 6 years old now, the little boy who walked in crutches for 10 kilometres to raise money for the hospital that saved his life. His biological parents had so physically damaged him and abused him, he had to have his legs amputated. And now, on his crutches, have you seen him? Such a struggle, and yet with such determination, raising money for that hospital that saved his life. There's something healing about deliberately focusing on good and lovely and noble and honourable and excellent and praiseworthy things. It is not escapism. It is not denying that there are dark things around and shadowy things, and that there are difficult experiences that we and others are living through. But it's part of the recipe of peace that we do take time to focus on lovely things in which we can see the goodness of the Lord. You know, even when I saw my damaged lungs for the first time on a scan in the consultant's room, do you know what? I saw the damage that he was pointing out, but I was amazed as I looked at the structure of my lungs. I saw I really am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was amazed at the care and the knowledge and the insight and the concern of my consultant. I was amazed at his skill, amazed at his knowledge. You know, there is such a thing as common grace. Saving grace is for the redeemed of God, and who but the love of Jesus, none but his loved ones can know. But there's common grace, and the world is shot through with common grace of God. In other words, what God gives in his grace to all the world, to those who believe in him and who those and to those who don't. The rain, the sun, it comes to the righteous and the unrighteous. All the benefits of medical skill and so on. Take time to focus on all the goodness of God and all the ways in which it is made manifest throughout creation and even the world of fallen and sinful men and women. You see, God still loves the world as much as when he sent forth his son to the cross. And this world, even this lost world, is shot through with channels of his grace and channels of his goodness. And we need to focus on them if we want to find victory over anxiety. So there's something about what we do with our lips here in Philippians 4. There's something about what we do with our eyes, what the eyes of our heart, our focus. And lastly, that there's something just to rest in our hearts. And that is that God knows our needs, whatever they may be, and he'll meet them all. Do you remember Paul having thanked God for the Philippians' care for him, their material care for him? Do you remember he goes on at the end of that and he says, having thanked them for their being a channel of God's care for him, he says, verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And then remember, he says after that, "To our God and Father," we've got a Father, "be glory forever and ever. Amen." And amen, David Pawson says, it really annoys him when preachers say amen as though it's a question mark. He says there's nothing to do with a question mark in amen. Amen means it will surely be so. It is definitely so. It is beyond question. And so to say amen to a congregation is to completely ignore the meaning of the word amen. Amen. It will be so. My God, my Father, will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, I've learned that, especially when I was coming to terms with having to stop full-time work and so on. I've learned that. He knows and will supply every need. I remember sitting in the doctor's waiting room knowing I couldn't go back to work because I was so incredibly ill and incredibly tired. And I thought, what if the doctor sends me back to work and I know I'm not able and it will kill me? I really feel that. And right there and then the peace of God just came and settled upon me. And the feeling was, Kenny, I know how you're feeling. And I went into the doctor's fearing that she would send me back to work. Do you know what I saw? She started to cry, tears in her eyes, because she saw how weak and anxious and confused and frail I was. There's the common grace, the compassion in the eyes of somebody who I don't think knew Jesus. And there was the saving grace, the witness of his Spirit in my heart. I know your needs. And then that anxiety was replaced with another one. As it became clear I was going to have to stop, full stop. I would have no home, I would have no income, I would have no car, I would have nothing of the material things of this world that I needed. Do you know what? I've got a home. I've got an income. I've even got a car, not strictly necessary, but I've got one. God knows. And he supplies all our needs. Time and time again, I've just known reassurance of that as anxiety levels have just started to rise. And the Holy Spirit of God just touches me. And I know that God is saying, my Father is saying, my child, I know your needs. And I'm a very rich Father in every way. And whatever form of need you have got, out of the riches of my glory offered to you in the Saviour, my Son, Christ Jesus, I can meet them all. I wish I could say I've learned that, so much so that anxiety never starts to rise again. Well, it does. It starts to rise over many things. And eventually I just have to remember my Father knows. And my Father cares. And I've got a very rich Father, rich in every sort of grace that I might ever need. And I can rest in that truth. So there's Paul's recipe for peace and for the God of peace to be with us. Something to do with our lips, bring the whole mixture of rejoicing and thanksgiving and prayers and requests. Find a way of vocalizing that to God. Something to do with what our eyes focus on, the eyes of our heart, what grabs our attention. Make sure that you're giving attention to all the lovely, good, noble, praiseworthy things that the world and even the world of fallen men, creation, are still shot through with. And above all, in your heart, just settle it. You have a Father who knows. You know this thing about anxiety, I'll close with this, I've heard about anxiety, heard anxiety preached about in so many ways. Sometimes it's preached about in an extraordinary, angry way. The Bible says, don't be anxious, so if you're anxious, you're a sinner. And you're sinning against God, and you're disregarding the truth, then where's your faith? I think there's so much in the Bible about anxiety and fear not, because Jesus our shepherd knows us. And he comes in love to say, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Maybe some of you need to be released from guilt about anxiety as we close. The shepherd knows his sheep. And he's coming today to help you with your anxiety. May it be so for us individually. May it be so for you as a church in White Inch as you face the as yet unknown shape of your future together. So God bless and bye.